Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles, here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Haston with my friend Sean Bowles. Sean, what are we doing today?
We're always doing something good here. And today is an episode for anyone wondering how their faith intersects with their ambition, because we're asking how much of your career growth is up to your destiny and how much is your responsibility. It's such a great thought. It's such a great theme in Christianity. And in the real talk with us, we're going to unpack the balance between trusting God's timing and taking bold action. Do you just let go and let God, or do you show up and grind and get after it? And what does it look like to do both in a way that honors your calling?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. In my life, I started out by painting houses in a Volkswagen Bug with surf racks to hold a ladder. And it didn't seem like destiny, I can tell you that. But over four decades later, I look at a mature company and think, I think God had his hand in that, even though it wasn't sexy and it wasn't exciting and it wasn't, you know, what everybody else was doing.
Yeah, no, and I love that. I think when we unpack that story, I think people need to hear it, because I love where you're at now and all the things that you're doing now. But there was a real grind to get there. At the same time, there was destiny moments, and we're going to talk about those. Well, then we're going to be joined by a powerful guest who's a friend of both of ours, Topher Jones, an internationally known DJ who's been turning clubs and venues into spiritual experiences, and he's bringing his music to mainstream music venues through his events called Rave Jesus, which are selling out all over. And he's just formed the first rave dance faith-based music label with Sony Provident Music. And so we're going to talk to him about that huge step. He was a previous guest, and he shared a completely different story, still in the music genre and the DJ world. But, I mean, this is completely different where he's at today. So it's going to be so exciting.
It's the craziest thing, because even what he was doing before DJing all over the world, people were having encounters with Jesus, even though it wasn't Christian labeled.
Yeah.
And now, God interrupted him on his way to when he was doing the things he thought he was supposed to do, and said, "We're going this way."
Well, I know today, whether you're building a business or create a brand or just stepping into what God's called you to, the episode's going to give you courage to go after it with boldness. We got to get into it right after a message from our sponsor. Our sponsor today is Birch Gold, and Birch Gold is going to help you find a little known loophole in the IRS to protect your retirement, your IRA, your 401k with precious metals. And this is an incredible company. They have amazing consumer reviews. You can look them up. They're one of the top, if not the top, in their industry. And they're sponsoring us and giving you a free information guide by going to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. Bowles is spelled B-O-L-Z. And when you go there, you're going to talk to their experts, whether you get the guide or talk to somebody. They are so informative, and they're going to help you to go on the journey to stabilize your financial future. And we know that gold has been a standard for thousands of years, and it is today still. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to do something for your financial future and your children's future. Go there today. So one of the questions, Bob, that you and I get asked all the time is, how much of my career business success is up to God's plan, and how much is up to me and my destiny? Is it all discipline? Is it both? And it's just such an important question.
Yeah, it is. It is an important question. And Sean, we've talked about this for as long as we've been together. It's both. God absolutely opens doors and orchestrates opportunities. But if you don't walk through them and you steward what he gives you, you won't see the fullness of what's intended. And, you know, we see people all the time praying, I'm just praying for the Lord to open a door. I'm just praying for the Lord to open the door. I'm just praying for the Lord to open the door. Meanwhile, there's windows opening and little doors opening on the left and the right.
Totally.
And they don't take the initiative to partner with God. And that's what we're about, is partnering with the Father, partnering with the Holy Spirit, partnering with Jesus to make things happen in our own lives.
Yeah, it's funny because I was doing my mastermind last night and for our online mentoring, and it's teaching me about how to hear God's voice and what to do with like the prophetic, so to speak, if you know that charismatic term, mm-hmm. Which most of us here do because we hear those stories all the time and exploring the marketplace. But it was wild because we were talking about the Chronos and the Kairos time, which the Bible talks about both of those. The Kairos being the divine timing of God that you can't manipulate. The Chronos being our normal time frame we live in and how you can actually pursue the things that God's called you to, like invest into the talents he's given you, like in the parable of talents. But I feel like there's never a passive time with Chronos or Kairos. Like there's always something to do. Even waiting is not passive. And I think your story that you were telling at the beginning of the show, which is, like you're a painter, you just were doing what you knew how to do. And a lot of people may not know this, but you were around a lot of guys who became pastors and ministers right away during the Jesus People movement. And you went into business, and you went into business painting, and it turned into this one of the largest painting companies, if not the largest on the West Coast, and for commercial buildings. But you started in residential houses, and it was a hustle and a haul to get to where you're at now. But kind of talk to us about that, because I think it's really interesting, like that you've gone through both. You were around these guys who, I'm sure, prophesied over your business and prayed for you, and mm-hmm. you were supporting them. What was that like over the years?
Yeah, it was really funny because back in the mid to late 70s, as I was, starting a business, and I was around, these prophetic guys, Lonnie Frisbee and a bunch of the Vineyard people. None of those guys had jobs, so they liked having me around because I paid for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's amazing.
but it was an interesting call because then, and we've talked about this, there was sort of a, if you were in business or in the marketplace, you were a second class citizen. It was the mm-hmm. it was the pastors or the full time people who were in vocational ministry that heard from the Lord. And although that's never been true, it was sort of portrayed that way. And I think it's a lot different now, 45 years later. I think people in the vocational ministry do understand that they need people who are in the marketplace to help them, both financially and with their thought processes. Because a lot of these pastors now are running churches that have budgets as big as some businesses.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing being in the vocational ministry and serving Jesus with a call to bring people to the Lord.
Well, and I think there's this quote that I heard, and I can't find who did it, but it was your purpose, or God determines your purpose, but you determine your participation. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something about, like, when you look at someone's life who is accomplishing something, God may have had a sovereign purpose on your life too. And if you don't feel like you're accomplishing something, it could be your participation that you need to change. Mm-hmm. And that can go into your personal life, or it can go into your skill level. It can go into your education. It can go into your, where you live, geography, geographically. There's so many things that determine, how we participate with our calling. And I think that a lot of people just discount those practical components because they see the end goal and they're like, I'm going to do this one day. And then there's people who even wait around and don't do anything towards it at all. And so they end up never even aiming at the dartboard, so to speak, let alone being the dart that, gets thrown to the center and wins. So I feel like there really is a participation piece that a lot of Christians don't rely on.
And I think people a lot of times believe faith is passive. It's not, it's active.
Yeah.
You have to make happen what God's opening the doors for. And I mean, there's miracle stories out there where people are just relying on faith and somebody opens the door and hands you a bag of $1 million. There's those stories. But for most of us, it's active, waiting on God. I hear this all the time. I'm just waiting on God. And Sean, I mean, a lot of times it's fear or procrastination.
Yeah, it's spiritual language to mask that. I agree.
Right. You used to call it the God card.
Yeah.
And I just love that.
Well, Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it, work with all your heart and as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And I think that that's such a picture for people who aren't in ministry and are in ministry. It's like, let's do it with all of our hearts. So if we have a calling or a purpose in our life, of course, there's moments that are up to God. He's going to lead us. And our guest today is going to share how he was led. I mean, I loved his first story that we got to hear years ago when he was a guest before, but he's in a whole other season now where he probably wouldn't have even chosen this path the same way that it was chosen for him by God. So there's those sovereign seasons where God's divine momentum overtakes our effort. But for the most part, we are watching an accumulation daily or weekly or monthly of just us moving and then God moves bigger, us moving and God moves bigger. And I feel like if you're in a season that's stagnant, there's still some ways you can participate that still brings a movement from God's heart, even if it's not directly in the business or the career, your life's still moving forward in God. And I think that that's the part where we want to really guard that we don't buy into the lie that, you know, there's nothing to do or I can't make any effort towards this or God's going to have to do it all. Like we have to at some point say, I have a responsibility to.
Yeah. I mean, if we remember in the book of Zechariah, do not despise small beginnings because the Lord loves it when we start. And I think you combine that with Matthew 25, you've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things, the parable of the talents. And I think we just have to really, I love your participation word, like we need to participate and partner with the Lord.
Well, that leads us to today's guest, someone who's really partnered with the Lord and participated. He's taken a lot of risks in unexpected places. And so I'm going to introduce you to him. His name is Topher Jones. There's the visionary behind these events called Rave Jesus, which is a bold move of intersection of faith and dance music, which has been online, offline, in venues. It's been incredible. What started as a prayer call for the music industry back in 2018 has now grown into a powerful initiative that's impacting clubs and festivals and streaming platforms worldwide. And with Rave Jesus, Topher is on a mission to see God's presence reach every corner of the music world, from massive global streams to sold-out shows and collaborations with some of the biggest names in music. Topher is proving that worship doesn't have to stay inside the church walls. It can move a dance floor. And he has created the first ever faith-based dance music label coming out this fall with Sony Provident Music, which I think is just so cool. So up next is Topher. I want to invite you to come and grow in the prophetic and spiritual gifts, and you have to do this intentionally or you won't see the results you want. We have a powerful tool for you called the Spiritual Growth Mentoring Community. We do 4-week live courses with amazing speakers, and we have a prophetic nurturing community as well. And one of my favorite things that we do is online activation and connect groups with our pastors, so you actually have equipping opportunities to grow that are real time. You get to practice what you learn in classes. On top of that, I get to be your monthly prophetic accelerator coach and teach you how to go on a journey in the prophetic that maybe you've never been on before. And if you have been, you're going to get impartation. You get to ask your questions. You get real prayer. And the atmosphere that I said, I think is one of the best you can have when pursuing hearing God's voice. 2025 is going to be our best year yet. Upcoming courses are all about how to grow deeper in the prophetic. We're going to talk about breaking curses in with the demonic, going after words of knowledge. And we have teachers who are going to give you the secrets of prayer. And we're going to help you move forward in God and all that he has for you. We care about your spiritual growth. And I know you care about it too. So come join us.
Welcome back. Hey, Sean, we're here with King Topher. Topher, this is your second meeting with us, and we're just super psyched to have you back.
It's good to be back. A lot has happened since our last conversation on here. A lot has happened.
I know. We had you in the podcast, I think it's like 5 years ago. So you were in the middle of, you know, your own recording contract. You're in the middle of like opening up a recording studio. You're doing all kinds of things that you are still doing parts of now, but you have a whole nother wave of life happening, especially after being married with two kids. So take us on the journey of what's going on.
Yeah. So since we last talked, I mean, there's been just a massive shift of still doing music, touring around the world, all the things, but it's just positioned quite a bit differently in the sense of there's this movement called Rave Jesus that has been taking off. And
wait, say it again, because people may not get wait, Rave Jesus.
Rave Jesus. And so a quick backstory on the name. In 2018, I started a prayer call with a couple friends of just, I wanted to get together every week and just pray for the dance music industry. God, what's your heart? How can we bless it? How can we love the people in it and see heaven come to earth through dance music? And so every week we get together and we just pray for an hour a week. And it was basically a prayer call up until 2020. Then the Lord told me to open it up publicly. And then COVID happened. So then all of a sudden there's people around the world from all sorts of areas of the music industry hopping onto this Rave Jesus call to just encounter God and pray for the music industry. And then the Lord was like, hey, it's time to start positioning some of the music. Like, let's make it overtly worshipful music, and then let's do some events. And it's slowly just pivoted piece by piece. And now it's full on like a movement. It's touring, selling out shows, records, you know, coming out, huge collaborations with massive artists. And it's worship dance music is a thing now. So
wow,
it's so different than just playing your typical festival. I still love it. God has made it very clear it will get back to that place. But right now it's, yeah, just this like worshipful house music, dance music movement right now.
Well, and I think people are seeing, like, I mean, two of the top 100 songs this year have been Christian songs. Mm-hmm. You know, Forrest Frank and Brandon Lake. And then you have these moments that have popped up, like Jelly Roll at a Post Malone concert singing his Raise a Hallelujah, the Brandon Lake collaboration song, and a double rainbow appears.
Yep.
And you have, you know, Bodie, who was on The Voice season 22 or 23, who was the runner up. And he shares a miracle story that goes viral in the music industry community, where his wife was healed of her eardrum. And for whatever reason, all these musicians are coming out, like one of Rihanna's camp was coming on it. People were coming on. I had friends reach out to me and go, did you see this? Like, I'm really believing in God, but I've never believed in miracles before. Yeah. So there's people who are like seeing these mainstream figures, and that the Christianity is in mainstream right now in movies and television, and now also in music. Yep. So it makes sense that people are going, okay, I want this, but they're doing it, you're doing it in a really out of the box way. So kind of describe what this looks like as far as taking this into venues, where usually when you think of rave, you think of like Molly, ecstasy, people on drugs, yeah, going through kind of a sexual experience. Not, I'm not trying to be weird, but that's just kind of what totally it feels like, but you're doing it totally different.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like the foundation, it all starts with the music. And when we're in the, you know, the studio making music, it's like, Lord, I love the beauty and creativity and excellence of dance music. How do we keep that? Because that's the standard of what I've been operating at just for my whole career, is I don't want to make bad music. I want to make the best dance music ever, but everything has to be with the Lord, and the lyrics and the message and the story and every song is like, how is this worshiping the Lord or carrying his heart for that people, when they mm-hmm. hear the song, they can encounter him in some, you know, beautiful, profound way. And so it's not like we're changing dance music. We're just kind of fusing two things that have typically avoided each other together. and it's pretty cool because it works wonderfully well. And we're finding out there's a massive audience of people who are Christians who are looking to worship and express their faith, you know, creatively and dancing in ways that don't just look like Sunday morning. But then there's also people that just love dance music and have always had this wrestle of like, well, the culture around it isn't necessarily, I don't agree with it, but I love the music, so I'll go to the shows and I'll pursue the Lord, but just understand that the environment isn't my favorite. And it's like, well, there's a space where people that both those camps can come, and people that don't know Jesus that just love good dance music, they come to shows. And so it's this kind of bridge between two cultures that have very much avoided each other. Yeah. And it's been cool to see what happens.
You must see Bob at a lot of those shows.
Yeah, yeah. Bob's the number one fan.
Right. Since I got my hip fixed, you should see. Wow, it's amazing.
Watch out.
but you're talking about people who've tried to avoid this stuff. So I what you're doing is you're putting on shows and live shows in different cities, and you can talk about that in a second. But how is some of the mainstream Christian community responded to this new movement that's out of a lot of people's box?
It depends. It's a mixed bag. I mean, there's people, I get a lot of messages, this is demonic, this is evil, you're leading people to hell. But then the other side of it is, you know, like Brandon Lake is a massive Rave Jesus fan, and I've just done a handful of remixes for him. He loves this stuff, and artists like him are reaching out going, bro, you're pioneering, you're breaking boundaries, you're bringing, you know, the fullness of creativity of what God wants to do. Like, thank you for being a part of this story. And so there's that. And then just signed a deal with Sony, their Christian division, Provident, started the first ever major label Christian dance music label together. So we co-own a label together.
Good.
Yeah, and then signing with UTA, which is the biggest booking agency in North America. And it's been wild to see the head of the Christian division and the head of the dance music division are involved and a few other people are involved, but like half the team so is wild. Not Christians, but yes. They love it. They're like, wow, we need this. This is amazing. Thank you. Even though I'm missionally, they're not necessarily aligned. They love it. But then you have, you know, the Christian side is like, yes, we love this. We get the mission. And like, this is just super cool. So definitely a mixed bag, but I think the response has been, I was worried about, is this going to push away all of my friends and community in just the dance music space? Because I love those people and I love being in places where the church doesn't go. Like I thrive in those places.
Right.
And I was worried, is this going to cut that off? And it's actually been quite the opposite, where they've all been incredibly supportive and they're like, we love this. This is just you. You're not trying to steal our culture and turn it into something it's not. So it's been really cool. The response has been great. The more pushback has come from just, you know, internet Christians who think they are the master of all theology.
The court of Christian opinion. Yeah, that's not a fun one. I remember years ago when you were, you know, DJing around Europe, especially, and you were doing huge festivals, and you were just kind of bringing the light in a way that was just unheard of. There's very few Christian DJs that were doing it for the sake of their faith. And you were doing it all these mainstream places. And then you got signed with, I believe, Capitol, and you were doing this whole project. And then you felt a departure from that. And then COVID happened. And so I think, like, I look at, and I know there's time and space in between that, but yeah. Kind of talk about the transition, because it wasn't easy before you got here, before you got to the place of like this kind of spontaneous combustion of Rave Jesus. Yeah. Talk about the in-between place between like going from the biggest record label signing you to like kind of downtime of what are we doing? What are we inventing with God?
Yeah, it was I'll keep it all PC. It was a pretty brutal journey. And there were a lot of conversations with the Lord where I was just furious and cussing him out and screaming and being like, this is ridiculous. And he was super kind and patient through all of it. And he basically came to me and was like, hey, this is what I want to do. And I was like, this sounds dumb. I think this is a terrible idea, because this is going to cut off all the people that like nobody else is going after. Like, who's going to do that? And he was kind. He goes, hey, I'm their savior, not you. Do you trust me with this? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'll listen. And then it was like, hey, I want to do this. And it was this slow journey from where things were to then where things are now. And he was super kind, but very firm of like, I'm doing this. I'm asking you to do this with me. If you're going to say no, I will find somebody else. This is on you to decide if you want to partner with me or and miss out on or be a part of something special. I'm not going to force you to do it, but this is what I'm doing. So it's on you now. And, you know, and a lot of things in me had to die. And they weren't bad things. It was just expectations and hopes and dreams that I thought had to be done a certain way. That all had to die. The how to get places, the how things are built, all had to die and had to turn into this thing of every day. All right, Lord, like no one's done this before. There's no blueprint. What do we do? And that's been the whole journey of this every single day, showing up like that. And this is reaching heights and going places that my old stuff had never once touched or dreamt of. And that's what's been so humbling for me. It's like we're selling out these shows weeks in advance. And I'm like, and everyone's like, this is incredible. And I'm like, I'm just like weeping, because I'm like, yeah, I almost said no to this.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do this. Like, God is kind to have been patient with me and allow me to do this thing with him. And so all this great stuff that's happening, like I find myself just like weeping at night, being like, my own desires almost threw this away, and God is way more kind and patient than I ever imagined.
It's interesting. In my life, my company got sued by the union to become union, and we fought it for years. And finally we capitulated and joined the union, and it was the biggest blessing our company ever had. And we thought it was the enemy.
Yep.
And so we fought against it, and a bunch of men who I was in a prayer group would always laugh at me and say, so you fought against God trying to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't know. And I know that you were even having testimonies from your previous to this of people coming because you were playing music that was, you know, uplifting, and people were getting saved. But I'd love to hear kind of like what's happening now at these events.
Oh, man, it's wild. I mean, this is the show in Orange County three weekends ago. And, you know, 650 person club sold out. 30 people gave their life to Jesus at the show.
Wow.
There was a show back in February, I think it was, where this lady had been born deaf in her left ear. She's at the show. I mean, it's loud music. And all of a sudden her left ear opens and she can hear for the first time. And
wow.
I'm not preaching from the stage. I'm not up there being like, Lord, on a microphone, like, heal these people. It's like, I show up and I'm like, my heart posture is, how do I just soundtrack what God wants to do in the room tonight? And there's only so much music that I have that works for this set right now, but it is this, how do I soundtrack for the Holy Spirit to just move? And, you know, so there's that. I mean, there was one, this one just broke my heart and was so beautiful. There was a lady who came and her son had died 18 months ago, and she'd just been in this deep, dark depression for 18 months. And in the middle, she was like, I'm supposed to be here. And so she came to the show, and in the middle of the show, the joy of the Lord hits her. Depression leaves her, anxiety, and she's just like laughing, and she's running around the room, and she's filled with joy. And, you know, as a parent, I'm like, I couldn't imagine the pain and agony of this. And to be a part of the redemption process of that story for her is so beautiful. And so stuff like that's happening. I mean, people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just show up. Like, I'm not doing anything special.
I know. I think it's interesting because there's probably a lot of people who are listening who feel like they can relate to the fact that God's calling them to do something they're going to surrender that they wouldn't have done. It wouldn't have been their first choice, but they're doing it God's way. Maybe the same genre, a different way. And I think for you, it was scary because no one's ever done this before.
Right.
I mean, literally no one's ever done dance music like this in clubs as a thing. They might've done like one or two clubs, but it wasn't their career. And so I think for you to step out of the boat, so to speak, it was high risk because you were risking your reputation you built for all those years, becoming a pretty well-known DJ and becoming a pretty well-known entertainer. And you could have lost all that, but instead you found something that God built. And I think that's such a great story for people to hear, because I know a lot of us are being asked to do things that we would have never said yes to or thought of or inspired ourselves to do. And that's a hard road to go down. Like you said, you were upset. You were, you know, dragging your feet the whole thing. Kind of talk about like, once you, when was the first time where you go, this is it? Like, aha, like this is my aha moment. What was the concert or what was the moment?
Yeah, there was, I played a normal show in Seattle. And then for some reason, I had never done this before. I was like, we should do a DJ led worship set the next night and just see what happens. I don't know why I felt prompted to do this, but I did both shows, and I'm on the flight home from Seattle coming back to Reading. And I was like, why was the worship night so much better than the normal club night? Like, this is okay. I'm gonna have to wrestle with this for a minute, because this kind of blew the paradigm of what I thought things would be and my expectations. It just blew all that out of the water. And so I then go, okay, well, we should try this again and see what happens. And so I called my friend in LA and it's like, hey, can we do a show down there? He's like, let's do it. Take us went in 8 hours.
Wow.
And it's like, okay, that's a thing. And then you go and you play the show and you're like, okay, this is actually a thing. People are looking for this. And so it's been bit by bit. But then, you know, when people reach out, and then, you know, from a music creativity standpoint, when people that you love and respect reach out, hey, I love this. I want to be a part of it. Let's work on some stuff. That's always reassuring. But then you just see what God's doing, and like the testimonies that we get every single day are crazy, and you just can't argue with the fruit of that. Like, it doesn't matter what my opinion is or how I feel today about whatever. It's like, this is what God is doing. And it's like, why wouldn't I want to keep partnering with this?
What's it look like going forward? I remember when you were doing your DJ, you were trying to get partnerships for your shows in different various places. And what's your schedule look like now?
This summer it's all Europe and Australia. So I go to Australia next month, play two shows down there, three shows in England, and then two shows in the Netherlands. And then this fall, it's supposed to be October 10th. We'll see if the date stays the same for the album that comes out. And then there's going to be a huge fall tour off the back of that. And we got to decide if it's going to be between 15 and like 30 shows.
Wow.
Yeah. I need to just pray of like, all right, what do you want to do this fall, Lord? And also, how do you do this as a father and a husband and what that looks like for a family? So yeah, a lot of shows. And I mean, we're definitely building this outside of churches. I'm not opposed to doing shows at churches, but when we do our own like hard ticket shows, they're at live music venues. And I think because of the testimonies we've been hearing from just the venue staff, like here's an example in Denver, lady working the door. She's definitely not a Christian. She's on a journey and just in life. It was really sweet, but some guy bought a ticket. He had checked in, he goes and he's dancing. And like 30 minutes later comes over and just walks up there and goes, "Hey, this might be crazy, but God told me that he's going to stop the tormenting dreams that you've been having because he loves you and he wants you to know how much he loves you." And she gets goosebumps and she's like, "Yeah, I have this reoccurring tormenting dream every night that my ex-boyfriend, he would abuse me. He shows up in my dream every night to abuse me." And she's talking to me afterward. And she's like, "What do I do? Like, I don't believe in God, but like this happened." I was like, "God loves you and he's after you." And so being just like the venue staff encounter God is why I don't want this to be in Christian spaces. I want it to be in just neutral music venues or other venues, because this is a unique thing that's positioned in culture where it can go places that worship bands will never go. And
absolutely.
I understand the responsibility of that. And so most of the shows will continue to be at nightclubs or live music venues.
I mean, it's just so incredible, because I remember when you were doing music and just feeling so inspired by it when you go to venues. I think of like, we went to Matt Saley and the Pentatonix. He's a friend of ours who is also worshiping our old church. And we went to their Christmas show, and I remember just seeing him, and I was so proud of him being up there, just being a light in the midst of a really hard place. And there's, because of him, they're singing even more Christian music for Christmas carols and stuff. And I just think it's so beautiful. But then there's a whole other level when it's like you're taking a place, a mainstream venue, and turning it into a place of worship for even people who don't know they're worshiping. And I think that's like, even though it's called Rave Jesus, it's like so many different types of people are coming. Let's kind of talk about the resistance you have had, because you mentioned it, like it's mostly the Christian community who doesn't understand it. And that's what happens, is we get upset. I mean, they didn't like drums in the 70s in most churches. You know, it's like that was evil. Like it was the devil's instrument. So I can imagine rave could just be considered it's the devil's, not God's, in a lot of Christians' minds, because they don't know how to. And I'm asking this question because I think there's people who are listening and watching who maybe they're doing something that the church or Christians don't understand yet. Maybe they're doing, it could be like my wife with environmentalism. Like she goes after farming and in urban or permaculture and that kind of thing, and she cares about it. And sometimes people will give feedback to us that this whole earth's going to burn anyways. Why do you care about it? And it's just this almost like what you're doing is so second class. Like you should be doing what your husband's doing in ministry versus what you're doing with gardening is just like so stupid, you know? And I've heard those kinds of when Christians or people don't understand how big God is, a lot of times they'll make stupid statements. Have these statements been actual persecution or just stupidity? And how do you handle it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't consider it real persecution. Like nothing on the internet's going to bother me that much. And quite honestly, like I'm happy to respond a few times and engage because it spikes the engagement on the posts. I understand the game of how algorithms work. And so I'm okay to push back on some things here and there, but the most common threads are like raves are evil and demonic. This has no place with Jesus. God would never show up there. Jesus would never go there. And the other one is we're supposed to be separate than the world and different than the world. And I'm like, well, like music itself isn't worldly. It's the heart behind it. It's the message behind it. It's what is this unto is what makes it worldly, not whether, I mean, I can make a piano quite worldly depending on my intent of using a piano. And so that's the main one that I, you know, deal with. This is worldly. You're supposed to be separate from the world. And you're like, oh, you're missing the point. But
yeah.
Also, like, how are we going to go love people who don't know Jesus if we aren't willing to go talk to them and be around them? Like, why are you so threatened by everything that isn't, you know, labeled Christian? I get confused about that.
Yeah. Well, I think the community, Christian community, has always had a problem with that. And we're out to be light and salt in the world, and you're doing it. Well, we've got to wrap this up, but tell me this. How do people find Rave Jesus.
How does Bob go to a Rave Jesus?
How do I go to Rave Jesus?
Bob goes, he just shoots me a text.
And he's going to get like light sticks and he's going
to
go for
full
it.
Access anywhere he wants to go. but yeah, I mean, go on Spotify, just search Rave Jesus. On YouTube, search Rave Jesus. Instagram, Rave Jesus Music. My personal page is Royal King Topher. And yeah, you can find TikTok, Rave Jesus. Or is it Rave Jesus? Rave Jesus, Rave Jesus Music. If you search Rave Jesus, you'll find it there. But yeah, that's it for all the socials and big tour this fall, big album coming, lots of singles. So hop along for the journey, folks.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear it all. And we just love what you're doing. It's so cool to hear that you would obey God to go out this far outside the box. It's just so cool. Thanks for being on the show today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.